Friday, the Ramash, the Ches, Elul, Tovshin, Ayin, Tes, Rav Yehuda Steinberg.
Good morning. In the days of the Chasam Sofer, there was a war between Austria-Hungary, I think it was called, and Russia. And it was a difficult war. The Russians were winning. And one day, a Yid was caught near the town of the Chasam Sofer, without the right documents, not speaking the language properly, he came from Russia, and the authorities caught him and accused him of being a spy. And they held a very, very quick court case, a couple of minutes, and decided, especially seeing that he was a Yid and anti-Semitism played a big role in this, that he's a spy and he deserves to die. The Chasam Sofer invested tremendous efforts into saving this Yid's life. Just tried to speak to one official, to another official. Eventually he managed to get to the general of the army, the general of the Austrian-Hungarian army. And he said to him, "You've got a Yid who's been accused and he's totally innocent. And he's been accused of being a spy, and he's done absolutely nothing wrong, and you're condemning him to death without investigation. You should investigate, and you'll find there's nothing to it." So the general said to him, "As much as I respect you, you must remember I'm actually in the middle of a war. In this war, every day, hundreds of my soldiers are dying. And I know that my soldiers don't deserve to die, but even so, that is a war. Kavachema, when you're telling me about one person who you say is innocent, my court says he is. Otherwise, you expect me to start investigating now. Who's got the time and energy or interest in such a thing?" So the Chasam Sofer said to him, "Do you ever learn Chumash? Do you study the Bible?" "Of course, in those days, it was a big covert." So he said, "Let me ask you a question on the Chumash. We have at the end of last week's parsha, the halachas of Melchama, and the Pasha Shoftim, Kiseitzer Melchama Alivecho, all the halachas, they shouldn't be scared, who needs to go home, the entire story of how to lead the war. And when you come to this week's Pasha, once again it starts, Kiseitzer Melchama Alivecho, all the halachas of Eishes Vastoya. And bang in the middle of it is the halacha of Egla Avufa. If you find a dead person, you don't know who killed him, then you have to do an entire investigation, which city is the closest, and have to do an Egla Avufa. And the obvious question is, if you want to tell me the halachas of war, finish off with the topic. Don't go into a new topic and start with something else. First finish the halachas of war, and then tell me the halachas of Egla Avufa. Why do you interrupt?" So this general opens up his Bible, reads it through in his Australian again translation, I suppose. And he says, "You're right, Rabbi, that's a very, very good question. It seems wrong." So I'll tell you the answer. The answer is that the Torah wants to teach us that even when a person is busy in the middle of a war and he's got tremendous big decisions on his mind, he shouldn't forget about the small individual who's lying there dead and we don't know how he died. There's no such thing as saying, "Well, it's insignificant, doesn't matter, I've got a war going on." In the middle of a war, the halachas of Egla Avufa still apply. He was very impressed with the answer, and he investigated, and he found that the attacker was completely innocent, and they let him go. So, the Kastur, the Chasam Sofer, his Shtadlus, his Ga'onus. But there's also a very important message, besides his being involved in this week's parasha, there's a very important message that in this world, we look at the overall picture. You have the worker, if overall he's doing a good job, we're happy. Bad job, we fire. You have to look at the big picture. You can't take into account every act that a person does. And a person could go through an elul and feel that it was a failure on the overall. didn't change very much. How much did he do already? Last year's Elo, did he leave an impression? But the Torah doesn't work like that. Every little act that a person does, there's no such thing as the Torah ignores it. A person spends 5 minutes extra learning, he has a hill tshuva, he davens a little bit better. Every act in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes is very, very big. We don't ignore the small stories because of the big picture. It's for the good and for the bad. The Rambam says that Yehovah ben Avot, the greatest of all Rishoyim, will be punished for not being makpid on Erev Tavshil in Midor Abonon, even though he caused the entire castle to do Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says another round as well, for every mitzvah that a person does, he'll get schar. That's the ikon, the kud of the Rambam. Everybody quotes the Rambam for the bad, but the Rambam there in the letter, he's trying to describe that every mitzvah. It's important that a person mustn't give up. Chofetz Chaim stresses this point a lot. The person that comes to Shmoneh Esrei, most of the Shmoneh Esrei went without much kavana. The person has to realize, it doesn't matter. So let me at least chaperein one word, two words with kavana. It's also worth a lot in the eyes of Hashem. Egla Rufa comes in the middle of the story of the Mecham. There's a sefer called Orchas David by the Biala Rebbe of Nevak. And there he tells us that the sons of Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, great Divrei Chaim, Zichat Tzadik Kodesh Levochem, used to every year tell his Chassidim three stories, three Mesholim actually, not real stories, three Mesholim. And every year he would say the exact same three stories in Elo. He would say it with a special niggun while he was crying. And at the time he was finished, all the Hasidim would cry with him. And every year he would say these three stories. He obviously felt that these three stories are fundamental to our understanding and our avoda for Elo. I'd like to say them briefly, without the niggun and the crying. Not because I shouldn't, but simply because I can't carry it off. But it's important, it's kedai, because each one of these Mesholim are deep, or there's a lot to think about. Listen, the sons of Rebbe used to say it every year, so we can hear it once. The Mesholim are quite famous, but to hear them on the run, how he used to say them is kedai. First Marshal, there was once a Yid who got lost in a very, very big forest. And he's wandering around the forest, he tries to get out. And every day he goes on another path, hopefully leading him out of the forest. And then what happens is, he finds it doesn't get him anywhere, he's back stuck. And this goes on for days and weeks, and one day he sees another person in the distance, and he's so excited, this person will tell me the way out. And he comes running up to him and he says to him, tell me, how does one get out of this forest? Another Yid says to him, I'm very sorry to tell you, but I'm lost like you are, I can't help you at all, I'm also stuck in this forest. And he starts wandering away, nope, no help. And then suddenly he turns around and he says, no, no, there's still something you can do for me. I have tried certain ways and they haven't worked. You must have tried certain ways and they haven't worked for you either. At least tell me which ways you have tried that I should know not to copy your mistakes, and I'll tell you my ways. And in that way I can tell you which ways doesn't lead out of the forest. And the Rebbe used to say that we've all been stuck with the Yetzer Hara. I can't tell you how to get away from the Yetzer Hara, but I can tell you certain things that don't work. That's how I used to. That was his first marshal. Person has to think back over the year, which things did not work, which places was he nichshol, which path led him down the wrong track, which places did he go to which were no good, which friendships did he create which were no good. A person has to work through the year, even if a person doesn't know 100% what's the right way out of this way, or out of this planter, out of the forest. But at least a person should spend some time thinking which ways led him worse, which ways didn't take him out of the forest. If I may say one point, that many people, this big chilek of the avoid of Elo, as we see, is to mekabel something, to change in some way. And I've noticed over the years, if a person thinks about it, that when a person works on a no, on what not to do, it is never as successful as working on what yes to do. I mean, let's say a person said to himself, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. Okay, that's too big, maybe. But let's say I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara from 9 till 10. Working on a no never has the same effect as working on a yes. Perhaps it would be better every day I learn a word, a piece of the Chofetz Chaim. It's a little bit to do with the fact, the famous story of the Rebbe whose chassid says he has Yehorim when he goes to the mikvah. What does he say to him? Don't think about black cats. And what happens is it comes back to him. He says, every time I go to mikveh, the only thing I can think about is black cats. When a person tries not to do something, he ends up getting more caught up in ra. That means, in Avodas Hashem, it is much healthier, much better, if a person can work through his elul of what ways yes to do, than what ways to avoid doing. A person has to find maybe a certain kviyas he can do, a certain tefillah he can do, but working a lot about what I've done wrong and how can I stop doing wrong can get a person drawn in more into the mess. It's a small nekuda, one way of out of the forest, which I have found which doesn't work, is when a person is too busy with thinking about what he's doing wrong without thinking better about how he can do it right. That was the first story of the Sons of Eber. The second, you say, is also quite a well-known story. There was once a poor woman, and she was given an egg as a gift. And as she walks home, she starts thinking in her mind, wow, my life is going to change forevermore. I'm going to take this egg, put it underneath my neighbor's chicken, and it will go into a chick, and her chicken will lay more eggs. And those eggs will eventually have more chickens, and they will grow. And I'll sell the chickens for sheep, and those sheep will grow into flocks. And when I have flocks, I'll sell them for houses and farms. And I'll become wealthy, and I'll have all my children, mine, those Hashem people. And then eventually I'll be invited to the king. And she's all deep in her madinuenis and chalumas. And then she comes home and tells her children all about it. And then she starts practicing how she'll courtesy in front of the king, and she drops her egg. And that's the end of all the dreams. And that the Sons of Eber used to say, a person spends his whole elul fadimyan, a person in the whole elul, thinking what kind of dreams he has. Think about practicality, technically, what's going to be, what's going to happen, what changes, what concrete changes is there going to be. If a person doesn't have that, the whole elul can be lost in dreams. Again, if I may say so, many times you feel, you see people, it comes to Tikiyah Shofar from Rosh Hashanah, or the last few minutes of Ne'ilah, they quickly hack around, what can we do to change? And they make a new Kabbalah. And what happens is, and a few days later, it's forgotten if they don't even remember what they promised. Or even if they do remember, they realize it didn't work out. The reality is, I heard this from the Sosanat, that he used to say that the whole idea of Elul is that you're supposed to be practicing in position the kind of things you're planning to do after Yom Kippur. I mean, that's a person should already start now thinking to himself, what am I going to mekabel in the Ela? What am I going to be thinking about in Tekiyah Shofar? If a person thinks about it now and starts putting it into practice, then you'll see after a few days, did it work, did it not work? Did it help me, did it not help me? And if it didn't help me, what should I do else? And then if he sees that attack, it does work, so when it comes to Ne'ilah, whatever that few moments, it'll happen right in something which is concrete, instead of it being something which is in the demyonis and the chalomos, it'll have something practical and technical. It's a mistake to wait until the last second and quickly think about something. This is what we're supposed to be thinking about the entire elul. In what way can we change and put it into practice already now? That was the second story that they do with the egg. And the third story, he used to say that there was once a king who had a prince that he loved with the entire heart. Everything he could give to the prince, he would give him. Until one day the prince rebelled against the king. And he had no choice but to send him away. He sends him far away. And the prince lives a miserable life, stuck with some simple farmers who know nothing by his importance. And he's stuck all day looking after the sheep. He's finding it very, very difficult. And finally, one day he hears that the king is coming into town. And the king promises that anybody who asks for anything will get what they ask for. So people are queuing up. And the king hopes that this prince is going to come and ask him to come home. But the prince has forgotten. And what does he do? He waits and waits for days in this queue. And finally, when it's his turn to speak to the king, he says to the king, you know, as a shepherd, I'm stuck outside. And sometimes it gets too hot. Perhaps you can arrange someone to teach me how to build a hut so that I should be protected from the sun. And the king is so upset, that's what you're asking for, that is what you're worried about. You could have asked me to come home, and if you'd have asked me to come home, I would have brought you back in and you'd have had everything you needed. Instead, you're stuck with your small, earthly, unimportant pleasures. So as I used to say, the nimshal is understandable. Finally got a Yom Adin, finally got a time that Shmocha listens to us. Are we going to waste it by asking for Shmocha for a new coat, for a new house? Or instead ask for something that is more important, that I should have a ruchnius, a life of forever, that we've got something to bring Mashiach, that we should have a Shaykh Hasach and Shmuel Chutash. Shmuel should bring us back. And Bemis, you can use this Moshel again if I may add a small point. It's like this, that unfortunately we sometimes sell ourselves very short, we underestimate ourselves. I recently was speaking to somebody who I highly admire, and he told me, he's 45, 50, perhaps maybe older, that he doesn't learn Gemara, because Gemara is too difficult. And it's a big pity. People often underestimate themselves. They don't realize the power that they can have with them. You hear people who set aside for themselves a time to put themselves into a topic, into a sugya. And there's somebody, Balabos, who decided to spend 5 years of his life in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, and he brought out a sefer on it. I remember something that I saw. And I bought the sefer from him just as a chizuk. There's somebody who, a few spare hours every day, he brought out a sefer in Hilchos Bikur Cholim just by putting himself into it. And when it comes to the Noam, of course, the greatest thing to ask for is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach, and should bring us back, we should have the Yeshua, etc. But it's not just that. It's a matter of asking for bigger things than who we are. A person asks that I should be able to carry on with my normal life. It's a shame. A person has to start thinking big. There are people who set up big organizations. People who have set up tremendous chesed, gemachim, Torah organizations. By thinking a bit bigger of themselves, instead of thinking about the little coat or the little shed that they need, like the prince, you can ask for much, much greater things. Even think about the start of the day. A few of us, we got together, how many thousands of hours, I wouldn't get any spoiled to see people coming to start the day. Everybody's got their things to do, their businesses, the jobs they need to do, and they come in the morning and sit and learn. How did it come and listen to a shiur? How did it start? From a small idea. First of all, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur mustn't sell himself short to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for big things. To daven that he should become a Talmud Chacham, that his children should become Talmidei Chachamim, that he should be zeichet to do chesed to the rabbim, that he should be zeichet to have, the person shouldn't get himself caught up in small things. Of course, the biggest thing to daven for is daven for Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us home. So those were the three mashalim of the sons of Rebbe, which used to say, and used to be ma'ayu that Tzibur every year used to repeat this. And there's a lot to think about each one of these mashalim. The mashal of the person lost in the forest, think about how are we lost, what can we do to get out, and not to be redimmed with the chicken and the egg, to think about something practical and technical and real, something real, that's what we're looking for. And also to think bigger than what we are, not to get stuck with the small things that we need, but to start thinking big, what can we accomplish in life? That was the day I wanted to speak as much time about Hilchos Yichud. Hilchos Yichud is very, very important, halachas. You can't do it with one shiur and two shiurs. It's something which person... It's not easy to go through halachas of Yichud anyway in one mahalach. Because a lot of it is different shailas, how they crop up. It's learning the details, and you have to get the klolim clear. Sol Salanti used to say that the most important sefer to learn before Rosh Hashanah is Shaarei Teshuvah. He used to be very marich about learning Shaarei Teshuvah. The Shaarei Teshuvah writes in Shaar Gimel, the tremendous chashivos of Hilchos Yichud. Tremendous. That a person who's makbid in Hilchos Yichud, it shows that he has Yiras Shomayim. He has Yiras Shomayim. There's a tremendous rov still alive in Ofakim, Yehuda Chesna, not so famous in England, but a huge Talmud Chacham. A rov in Ofakim. He brings a story. It's a famous story, but I just saw it in his sefer, that there was a rov, and a woman came into the room and she was about to close the door. And he said, hey, keep the door open. So she said, are you scared? She said, no, I'm not scared of you. I'm scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that taught me these halachas. It's very important. The Shaarei Teshuvah says, when you see somebody makbid in Hilchos Yichud, you can be sure that he's somebody who's got the light of Yiras Shamayim shining on his face. That's when you're in yourselves. You can look at Shaarei Gimel. And it's a very big shmira for him. So there's a few nekudas. Let's see how many halachas we can get through. One of the important shailas in Hilchos Yichud is time. How long is Hilchos Yichud for? How long? A minute, 5 minutes, 30 seconds. So be'emes, there's no Gemara that talks about that as time of Hilchos Yichud. There is a Gemara that talks about Sota. Sota is a woman that a man accuses her of being unfaithful. And the Gemara talks about the fact that the halacha is that if she goes in a secluded room with a man that he accused her of, then she has to drink special waters to be sure that she never did anything. So the Gemara says, how long does she have to be in that room? So the Gemara says, the amount of time it takes to cook an egg and to eat it. And this is something which the priest can discuss in great detail, how long it takes. And there's many shurim, that's all the way from 30 seconds, most machmir, to a few minutes. And obviously it's very hard to be Mashiach, so many priests can write, how big is the flame? How big an appetite is a yeshiva bocher can eat an egg very quickly? Is it an older person, takes more time? But okay. Moshe Feinstein's got a very nice, very interesting kolob which he brings, and he's very strong about it. is that Dakamo is not talking about chesichot, he says. Dakamo is talking about a soita as a woman that's already spent time with this man. Like, that's the, we talk about where a woman, where the man already, the husband already said to her, don't spend any more time with this man. He's obviously seen her before in his company. So it's somebody, the two people are obviously attracted to each other and they spend time with each other. So then, the amount of time it takes to cook a neck and eat it is the amount of time it takes to be unfaithful. But when you've got two strangers coming into a room, so you need much longer, that at the very least. They need time to introduce each other to the thing and to get, and all the things, Moshe is more marich. He says it takes longer. It takes longer. He says 5 minutes. But what's very, very important to be aware of, Shem Zalman's Marech in the Tshuva, is that this is kimat very little nafkimina halacha lemaisa. Why? Because it doesn't mean that yichud is only osir if a person spends 5 minutes, or 1 minute, or 30 seconds. A person can be over yichud min hatoiva in 1 second. Because the halacha that yichud takes a certain amount of time is when yichud cannot take longer. But if yichud can take longer, even if it only takes 1 second, it is also straight away. A simple marshal. Person goes to hospital with his wife for some reason, and he gets a babysitter to look after his children. So then he realizes that the babysitter's looking after the little children. Let's say they're all little, there's no problem with yichud. They're all very little. But when he comes into the hospital, that's his wife sitting in the hospital, she had a baby, let's say it's happened. I remember once happened to me, my wife had a baby in the middle of the night. I came back and I realized there was a baby sitting in the house. I couldn't come home till it was morning. So what happened was, then, let's say a person says, I need to get my tefillin. I need to get my clothes, I need to get my pajamas. Even if he goes to the house just for 1 second, he's been over. Why? Because there's nothing stopping him from staying in the house longer. That means, once he's gone into the house, he's now in the matzav of yichud. And the fact that he decides after 1 second to get out of the house, get the tefillin by the front door, get to open the front door, take the tefillin and leave the house. It's still over yisr yichud, because there's nothing stopping him from being longer. So when is a nafkimina in time? It's, for example, the famous example is a lift. A person goes in a lift. So then, even if you've got, let's say, 5, 6 floors, or 20 floors, then what happens is like this. The doors of the lift close. But every floor they could open. You couldn't, if you even wanted to, let's say you decided that you're going to stay in this lift. You can't, because what happens is, the lift, as it goes up and down, it opens automatically for every floor, for every time somebody presses it. Since you don't know that there could be yichud for longer, so therefore you're not over yisr yichud, because the whole journey of the lift, if it's a very long lift, a very slow lift, where it could take a minute or two between each floor, then that could be a shayla of yichud. But if you know that every 10, 20 seconds it's going to open its doors, there's no yichud.
So that means it's not going to break down, how do you know?
I don't think the person is not. You are the situation now. If it breaks down, that could be a problem. But you are the situation, not creating a massive of yichud. Honestly? Ah, that was CCTV. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Richard,
Right, I haven't got to that. I never urge the front door open. If you leave the front door open, it's only a heter during the day, not a night. That's why I couldn't come home during the night. But that's not the point. I want to get point first this clear of the time. Now, I know it gets a bit harping on the point, but it's still could die to get it clear. People make a mistake. Sometimes time is only a heter if it cannot be longer. If it's even for 1 second. The Shulchan says in Santa Lambda, if a person's interested, we all know it's more numa. Chatzishi osim in Atova. Some people say Chatzishi osim do abon. He says, obviously, in this circumstances, there won't be a shayla of Chatzishi osim in Atova do abon. It would be osim in the Raisa Mamish. It'd get Malkus. Why? Because the second that you're in the room and you could stay longer, you've done everything obviously yichud. So therefore, the fact that you leave after 1 second does not give you a say, oh, I only did Chatzishi today. No, you did yesterday Raisa Gomor. And also, he says, also, cooler, that if a person's in a lift, and it's okay, it's only 10, 20 seconds, doesn't need to be worried about chatzishe, because it's no chatzishe. A matzav of yichud is creating a situation of yichud. Once you create a situation of yichud, it makes no difference if you only stay for 1 second, or if you stay longer. So that's a very important halach when we're talking about time of isra yichud. It's not such a big nafkimina, because any time that you actually create a matzav of yichud, if it could stay longer, it would be yichud. The big nafkimina is by a lift. There's one other nafkimina about time. And that's if a person's driving in a car, Moshe says this already, and it's in a secluded area where cars are coming past the whole time. So then, and cars can see in, so then, taka, there's no issa yichud. Why? Because when you're driving, you cannot create a situation, you can't stop the traffic from coming. So therefore, it could be that the next car will take 2 minutes to come past. But it could be it will take 5 seconds to come past. You never created a matzav where you are in control to make it a matzav of yichud. But the situation where a person goes, I saw he brings down, I've forgotten his name, on the Papuskim, about a man who does shul tours. Right? Go around faster to shul tours. Right? One time, you had two wealthy ladies from America. They wanted to see David Zal's shul. And they went in, and they got locked into the shul. Mamish over is a yichud. The fact that in a shul doesn't make a difference. The fact that they straight away managed to find a way to open up, also not over. The halacha is, there's no heter in a shul. It's a yichud that happens anywhere. It doesn't have to be an office or a thing, a room. It could be in a shul. So the point is like this, that time is only if it cannot be changed. That means a person has no control of the time. But once the door gets locked, and he can then find the key to unlock, it's up to him, so it's been over his yichud. Okay, that's one kud about time. Another kud about time is that the
ambulance be a problem, because the windows are blocked.
Windows are blocked, people can't see in. Yes. Uh-huh. So two men and one woman is okay. Oh, so that's about going. Purvas has to be aware that there's Issa Yichud by a goy. And the Issa Yichud by a goy is much more chamo. So there's, you see, there's these companies called eBay, Gumtree, where you can buy things. Let's say they're selling a couch, right? So you go to their house to see if you like the couch or something like that, you want to buy it. The person has to be aware there's a lichas yichud by a goy. The lichas yichud by a goy is much, much more chomo. One chomo which people are not so aware of is that it's a yichud by a child with a goy, whether it's male or female. I mean, let's say you've got a son who wants to learn to play music, and there's a non-Jewish musician. Then you cannot send neither your son nor your daughter, because by goy mochishet also for zochos. So for example, it's a very important halacha. You cannot send a child. Somebody told me that he has a son who got hurt by a goy, so he wants to teach him boxing or self-defense, karate, whatever it is. So there was a goy who was offered this in private sessions. You cannot send your child to a goy for both males, females, makes no difference. That's one baby that you can go with, and then it's okay, because then you've got an adult with him. And you can sit there and watch. But stamp to send a child to a goy is forbidden. Unfortunately, one hears so many stories that the person, you see the Chochmah of Chazal. Another big chumah by a goy is like this, is that by a yid, there's a musaq called Ishtam Mishamaltoi, right? A wife guards a person, and also Baal Obeil is also a heter. By a goy, you have the heter of Baal, but not Ishtam, meaning like this. Let's say, take a simple case of, let's say, Gumtree or eBay, and you hear of a couch being sold in some goy's house, and you're going to go into the house to look at the couch. So that is a shailah of yichud, because you're going to go into the house, and without the shailah pesach pesuach, where you pesuach shusarabim, if you've got entrance open to shusarabim, people do come in, that's a heter, especially in the daytime. Unless it's at night, we don't have that heter. Or it's not always so easy to get a goy to agree to keep his front door open for while you're looking, right? So now, if a man goes, and there's a couple there, if there's no couple, it's just a single woman's mamish, it's a yichud gom. But let's say it's a couple, so that's fine. Because we do have the heter by a goy that the husband protects his wife from being over yichud. So if you go in and there's a goyish man with his wife, you're okay. What's no good is if a woman goes in by herself. Let's say your wife goes by yourself to check it out. The fact that the goy is there with his wife, if it would be a yid, it would be fine. Because it's shtoy mishamalto. A wife protects her husband from the problems of yichud. But by a goy, we don't say that. By goyim, we say that the wives are more scared of the husbands, and they're more forced into what they are, forced into the things that they want. The husbands force the wives to whatever they want. So therefore, if a Yiddish woman goes into a Goyish house, and there's a Goyish man with his wife, there's Mamish Issa Yichot. So a woman can't go. She can't go into such a house. She'll either have to find, won't help her another woman. She'll either have to find a husband to go with, or keep the door open, etc. You must remember that by a Goy, the Ishtam Mishamat does not work. By poets, there's also a sun, yes. three women together is a shaila by a goy. By a yid, it's fine, but by a goy, it's not so poshut. Okay. Okay. A person has to be aware that the police could talk about what about a very old person, a very old person or very ill person who's not able to do ma'aseh bia. Person is very ill or very old, he can't do it. Is that issa yichud? So, when Moshe says there's no issa yichud, he's very strong about it. There's no issa yichud. How could it be issa yichud? Because at the end of the day, the whole reason of issa yichud is only because of the chashash that it might be nichshal in chet. Such a person can't be nichshal in chet. Now, it is interesting to see, but the ma'aseh, the world is. What sort of Shagakal is speaking? He said like this. He said, most cases in such a situation, it's usually Shas at Chak. You've got an old man, and he needs a nurse, or somebody who's not well, he needs a nurse. So it's a very difficult situation. It's not talking about a young, healthy man and woman where there's easily chance of Chet. We're talking about a man, it's a matter of Shas at Chak. One can rely on the Moshe to be Mekel, and therefore, if a person is ill but not able, there's no problem with the Yichud. But Moshe says an interesting Gemor. Santai learns up a Gemor. Gemor says of Chiba Ashi, there's a Gemor in Kedushim, which is very marich about the Chashivus of Lechus Yichud. A whole few daf about it. But the Gemor there says that he was perished from Ishtoi for many years. So Moshe says that a person cannot be perished from his Ishtoi unless the person is an onus. There's no such thing as being machmir in such a thing. You're not allowed to. You've got a mitzvah of Oina. So we're talking about somebody that was unable. And yet, every day he used to daven, Akshvoch, save me for the Eitzol, save me for the Eitzol. And one day his wife heard and she got upset, so she was a shadalta, she seduced him. And Taki, he thought she was Nichshal b'chet, because she dressed up as a Zoyna. And he was very, very mitztayer for many years until he fasted, until he died from the thought that he had done an aveva. Which said, you see, that person sometimes thinks he can't, but really he can. Depending on the situation, depending on the Yetzirah Shabbat. And the person has to be very careful about it. So therefore, even though Taki is a heter, he says usually you need either a doctor or a person to be sure that Taki has reached that stage, the person is so ill that Taki is impossible, then Taki is a heter. There's more to talk about. I just want to finish off with 2 points. One is that the Rambam writes, the end of Hilchos Issurei Bia, that the chet of avoyos is the hardest for Klal Yisrael, and it's been tremendously difficult in all the days. And he says the greatest guard for it is being machmir in Hilchos Yichud. And he brings the Chazal, the Gemara in Kedushin, that Tanoim used to say, Yizra'u bi mipnei biti, Yizra'u bi mipnei kalosi. Be careful with me, don't leave me in the same room as my daughter. Even though the person's allowed to be misach his daughter. Don't leave me in the same room as my daughter-in-law. Why did the Chazal speak like that? Because they wanted to teach, says the Rambam, they wanted to teach the Talmidim that the more machmir you are, the greater it is. And because of that, they wanted to make it clear in their minds that the tremendous chashivos of Hilchos Yichud, how much to be over them, they should be mispaish, vaket, they should be machmir as much as they can. Okay, I won't speak long, but I want to finish off with one vort on Shir Hashem. Every time I try to say one vort on Shir Hashem, because Shir Hashem is not a sefer which has learned so much. I finish off, usually I speak on Fridays, it's more tzuga pass, but okay, we'll find. Oh no, Elo Lanila Doidi Vedoidi Li. That the idea is that we can make a Shaykh Sakishboch, makes a Shaykh Shboch, makes a Shaykh with us. There's an interesting Rashi in Shir Hashem, Rashi, if a person could put up in his kitchen to look at. It's a beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, the Pasuk says, Hinoch Yofo Vayosi. You're beautiful, my beloved. Hinoch Yofo, Hinoch Yoinim. And the next Pasuk says, Hinoch Yofo Doidi. You're beautiful. Which is a bit of a contradiction. Kaisel said to Hashem, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, what's going on over here? So Rashi says, that the Pshat is like this, the Klal Yisrael, it's a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, look how beautiful you are, you do such tremendous mitzvahs, and Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, lo ha'yofi sheli, it's not for me, elo shelcho, it's yours, ato ha'yofa, you are the one who's beautiful. I mean, it's not me, it's you. Which is difficult to understand. Now I just say to you, you're nice, no, you're nice, what's going on over here? I used to learn in the kollel of a very big Talmud Chacham who life had made him quite cynical and bitter. So he used to say this joke. It's not the nicest of jokes, but he said it to Talmud Chacham, so. He said like this. There was once a person who was accused of a terrible crime, murder. He had killed his wife. Can you imagine such a thing? Man had killed his wife. 25 years married, and then one day killed her. So, taken to court, and he gets a lawyer to defend him, a defender. And they're standing in front of a judge, and the defender gets up to speak, and he starts being very rude. The judge decides it's a capital case, got a bit of patience, a bit of leeway, and he lets him off. But he carries on being rude, starts being interrupting people, disrespectful. So the judge says to him, look, I'm giving you leeway, because I understand this is a very important case, but don't abuse it, don't overdo it. You know, if you do, you're going to get into trouble. And the lawyer doesn't take any notice, the defender doesn't take any notice, and he carries on being obnoxious, very, very difficult. And eventually the judge loses it. After 5 minutes, he says to him, that's it. You're in contempt of court, and you get a fine, and you're thrown in prison, your lawyer, and your defendant is thrown in prison, a whole list of things he gives. So the lawyer says, okay, fine, I understand, accept. But let me just say one thing, Your Honor. You tried to keep your calm. After 5 minutes, you couldn't manage anymore. My client accepted abuse from his wife for 25 years. And only then he lost control. He doesn't deserve to be put in prison. He deserves a medal. There are people that bring out the worst of us. And there are people that bring out the best of us. It's a very important nakuda. There are some people that just being with them makes you a better person. And some people that being with them makes you a worse person. Some of you had the Shaykh Nosatzvi, Sheikh Tzadik Levracha, told me that he always found that people around him tried to be better. He had a way of encouragement, of kind words, that just being around him made people want to be a better self. There are some people out there around. When we say, we don't mean that we give Akshvoch 100 pounds, gives us back 100 pounds. We give him 5 minutes, gives us back 5 minutes. If that's the case, keep your 100 pounds, keep your 5 minutes, and then let's get. We mean something else. I give Akadosh Baruch Hu 100 pounds, he gives it back 200. I give him back 300, he gives back 400. I give 5 minutes of my time, he gives me 10 minutes of my time. There are some people, you give out your hand, they give you back half a hand. You give them half a hand, they give you a finger. You lose shaykhs, you feel you give, it makes things worse. And some people, just being with them, each one becomes better and better with his shaykhs. Over here in Sheh Hashim, the Pasuk says, that Akadosh Baruch Hu says to Christ, look how beautiful you are, look how great, look how the mitzvahs you have done. And Christ will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not from us. You have created that beauty. The beauty is not ours. The beauty is yours. From you came the beauty. We're not arguing about who's beautiful, me or you. We're discussing where the beauty comes from, how it got created, how it came into place. Yaakov Shimoni is very marich and shaved him about the fact that our relationship with Hashem is the exact same relationship as we have with other people. The whole avodah of Elul is that we should build the Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that each kibiyochel, we get closer to Hashem, and Hashem gets closer to us, and each one gets closer and better and becomes a better person. We have to do that with other people as well. First has to make sure with his wife, his children, his friends, his people he works with, his chavusas, that his relationship should be one. That not just I give to my friend a few minutes of his time, he gives back a few minutes of my time, I watch carefully, I give him this present, which present did he give me back? But rather it should be that each one creates in the other that feeling of I want to be more beautiful to the other person. And each one, you give back a few minutes of time, he gives it back more, you give back a bit of money, you give some love, he gives back even more. That is the avoid of Adila Dodili. It's not just about a tit for tat. It's about creating a relationship where being with Hashem makes us better people. And being with each other should make us better people. Should be Zechataka to be Mekhaim Adila Dodili. And to have a wonderful Elo, so we get ready for Yom Nevoim in the right way. Amen.